This is an interview with Al Henning for the Youngstown State University Early Education Project by Caroline Wilms Hall at his home on June 5th at 4 p.m. All right, Mr. Henning, would you tell us something about your parents?
Well,
who were they?
My father, both my parents came from rather large families, I would say. 10 or 12 children. And my grandfather was quite well known in Stark County. He was a minister, and I think quite an educator. And I thought he was superintendent of schools in Canton for a while, or pretty close to that. And both families lived in Stark County. My mother's family lived in Carroll County for a while and then moved to Stark County. How they got acquainted, my mother and father, I don't know, but they did. And my father was engaged in farming. He owned a farm, and he did quite well. Then
how many children were there? Were you an only child?
No, I had a brother and sister. The sister was older and a younger brother. And then from there I went to high school, and it was just my own choice. Nobody said anything to me. I just decided I wanted to go. And so from high school I went on to college, and there again nobody had anything to say about it. It was my own choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, well, in between, I went to college 2 years, and then I decided I wanted to teach in a one-room school. And so I had that experience. I had all 8 grades and about 20 children, I think. And that was really a lot of fun. That was between my sophomore and junior year. Then I went back to college, Heidelberg, and the next 2 years. And then I decided to teach in high school, and so I did that for 1 year. Then I took a year off and tried selling life insurance, and I spent a year at that, and then I got a job in Salem, and I was over here for some 40 years.
Hmm. Okay, when you went to school as a child, what type of a school did you go to?
In the
elementary grade.
Oh, one-room school. So I had that experience too. All 8 grades in one-room country school.
What do you remember about it?
Well, it's quite an experience. We had, I would say, some 30 people, and the association with all the older and younger people as we went through the grade was really something.
Okay, what subjects did you have?
Oh, we had everything. Geography, English, it was called grammar, spelling, arithmetic. Well, all the three R's, as they called it then. And we had spelling bees usually about every Friday afternoon. We'd line up on two sides of the one room of school and have spell downs. And of course, I was a pretty good speller and usually stayed up till the last. And writing, I won a few prizes. We'd get a big new pencil for writing, but it deteriorated through the years.
Mm-hmm. What kind of materials did you have? Did you have to buy your own books?
Oh, we bought our own books, all our school supplies. McGuffey Reader, of course, was a big thing. And everybody's heard of the McGuffey Reader, I suppose, but it's an experience, really, to have gone through all 8 McGuffey Reader grades to actually experience the McGuffey Reader was something.
Why?
Well, you had everything. You had poems, you had, well, the prose. Everything seemed to teach a lesson, but once you got it, it stayed with you pretty well through the years. But nobody who missed the McGuffey Reader can realize what they did miss. Just the experience going through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something. And the kids were all nice. They, youngsters and very sociable. And then they had box socials to raise a little bit of money. The teacher would organize a box social. That meant that the girls would all bring boxes, lunches, and then they'd auction them off. And I did the same thing when I had the year I had the one-room school. I organized one. We really had a big time. But I don't know how much money we raised now.
What would a box lunch go for then? What would be the cost of a box lunch?
Oh, they'd auction them off, and it all depended. The most popular girls, of course, would their boxes would go for the most money, $2-3 probably, or even less.
Uh-huh.
Not too much. Of course, a dollar went farther then.
Okay. How did the day start out when you went to this one-room school? How did your day start? I mean, what was the first thing you did in the morning?
I don't think we opened with prayer. In fact, I know we didn't. We didn't open with the Pledge of Allegiance either. We started right off. The teacher had a handbell, mostly. Some schools had the regular bell up in the belfry. But if you didn't have that, the teacher just went out, rang a handbell, you came in, took your seat, and you started right off with I don't know what was first, but you went through the whole day. You had recess in the morning, but an hour for lunch. Everybody brought their own lunch. You had recess in the afternoon, and then end of the day. usually you had a combination. For instance, the fifth and sixth grades would have geography together, arithmetic together, and then the next year they would, well, first year they'd have the fifth grade, and then the second year they'd have the sixth grade. So you had to, in order to get everybody, you had the combination, combining third and fourth, fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth for some subject. I had two little people, a boy and a girl, in kindergarten, in the first grade. They didn't have kindergarten, so you had to work them in through the day, one after another. They were cute.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of this school that you attended as a child?
That I attended?
Mm-hmm.
Centerville.
Centerville.
Yeah. The one I taught was Evening Star.
Hmm. Was that close to your home?
Oh, some 4 or 5 miles. When I went to high school, it was I had 5 miles to go. And mostly I rode horseback. And I had a special horse that I could do 5 miles in about 10 minutes.
Mm.
So it was no trick at all. And snow, high snow, didn't bother at all. We'd go right through. And I didn't miss very many days because of weather.
Now, when you went to school, you went from September through May?
Yeah.
Okay. When you finished eighth grade,
yeah.
Now, did you automatically go to high school?
Yeah.
Or did you have to take a Boxwell?
Went right to high school. And they didn't ask any questions. They just took you right in.
Did you have the same teacher the whole time you were in this one-room school?
In grade school? No. I had probably 5 or 6. And I don't remember them too well.
Do you remember? Were they basically female teachers?
All but one. I had one man teacher for 2 years. The rest were girls.
Okay. Were they young? Were they single?
Well, mixture. One was fairly old for a number of years. One was fairly young. Otherwise, I don't remember.
Okay. Then where did you attend high school?
Louisville.
Okay. Did you go for 4 years?
4 years.
All right. What kind of a day did you have in high school?
We had a full morning from 8 o'clock, I suppose, to 12. We had an hour off for noon, and then we were out of, I suppose, 3. I don't remember, but that's approximate.
Did you change classes?
Yes, and I think they were each an hour long, as I remember. I'm pretty sure they were.
Okay, did you have classes every hour, or did you have a study period, one of those?
Study periods, yeah.
Okay, did you stick strictly to an academic course?
Academic.
Did you have gym classes?
No. Nothing. It was too small. We didn't have one. We just had the main classes, that's all.
Did you have to take any foreign language?
I took Latin in high school.
Was anything else offered?
German, and that's all.
Mm-hmm. So then you graduated from high school in what year?
1920.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you went directly into college that fall?
Yep.
At Heidelberg?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us what Heidelberg was like when you went to school.
It was in the process of growing. They had a very nice campus. They called it the campus on the hill. It was in Tiffin, Ohio. And Dr. Miller was president and for quite a long number of years. He worked hard to build up the college. It compared pretty well with the other, most of the other colleges in Ohio, Worcester, Mount Union, and the others is the same caliber. And they offered practically everything.
Why, when you went there, did you go planning to be a teacher?
No. It does develop that way. Because we got together, we talked things over, and we planned what we were going to do, but it just developed that way.
What did you start out? Why did you go to college in the first place?
That I can't say. Most of my father's family were interested in education. Some of them did go to college a while. And on my mother's side, the same thing. Some of them, I had a first cousin who went to Heidelberg. And so I just gradually developed the idea, I suppose. Never thought too much about it. I just told my parents I was going, and that was it.
Was it expensive for you to go to college?
Not for me. I had saved money through the years, and I had enough to take me through 2 years, really. But they gave me a job peeling potatoes in the college commons, and so I got my room and board for that. And all it cost me was tuition, which at that time wasn't too much, I don't remember, but probably $200. That's all it cost me.
Was that for a semester or for a year?
Semester, I think.
Okay, what was the campus like at that time?
Campus is fairly well consolidated. It even is today, but they've been building new buildings with quite a building program through the years recently. But I stayed in private homes for 2 years, and then a friend of mine, we got a room in the dorm, and so we spent 2 years there. But it's a very consolidated campus, it was then. Pretty much along one street, and the football field was right within the sort of a circle, the track. That's about the best I can describe it.
How many buildings were there? Do you remember?
How many?
Buildings.
Oh, at least a dozen. The main building, when they started out, was just on a tract of land, not too large. And then they they built around that, so probably a dozen.
Okay, when you started out, what courses did you take then?
Well, biology, English, history. Well, mostly the major courses. I think I did most of my work in English and history. I didn't like math too well, and I took some science, and then education, practice teaching, and I got a 4-year certificate to begin with, and then from that I got a life certificate. I had all my education requirements there. Did practice teaching in Columbia High School, which is downtown from the campus. And I had one sophomore English class, and I had one senior class, all girls.
This was in your practice teaching?
Practice teaching.
Okay, how long was your practice teaching?
I imagine one semester for the sophomore English, and I think one semester for the senior English class.
Okay, when was this done?
That was in 23 and 24. No, 24 and 25.
So during your junior and senior
year?
What, did they set it up that you went a semester your junior year, a semester your senior year to practice teach?
The teaching?
The practice teaching.
Well, I had one class, one sophomore class for a semester, and one senior class for a semester.
Okay, so you just went to practice teach one class, a semester.
One semester was all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then did you carry classes at the same time at the university?
Yes. I just go down, I think, twice a week. Go down to Columbia High School twice a week for each class. And the teacher, regular teacher in the sophomore class, had just graduated the year before, so I knew him pretty well. But the teacher in the girls' class, senior class, she was older, very good teacher. I learned quite a bit from her. But it was really a lot of fun, too.
All right. Did they stay in the room and supervise you every time you taught?
In the sophomore class, yes. But in the senior class, she had a little room on the side of the main recitation room. So she'd go in and shut the door and just stay there and never bother too much.
Did your college send someone to supervise you and watch you teach?
No. Professor Williams never observed at all. But I'd report to him, make out the study chart, for each class, he'd look them over, we'd talk about them, and that's all.
Now, was this study chart what we would call a lesson plan?
Yeah, a lesson plan.
Did you have to do the lesson plans for other courses or other times?
No.
Just when
just
you were...
Just the two. That's all.
So then you went, what, 4 years of college?
4 years.
Okay, and you graduated in 25?
25.
Okay, but you have 5 years from the time you graduated from high school.
Yeah, because I took a year in between when I taught the one-room school.
Tell us about that.
So I had that experience, and it... it's really an experience. Nobody who missed going through the old one-room school, I don't know what they missed, because it was really an education in itself. And the children ranged from in the first grade, of course, as I said, not kindergarten then, but first grade, really. And they started out with a primer, and you had to take time to teach those little kids writing, reading, everything that they were supposed to know for the next year. And I had two boys that were practically as big as I was at the time, but no trouble. They were all just as nice as could be, and they all had to sit back, and they were supposed to keep busy when the teacher had the others up. You'd call them fifth grade and fifth and sixth grade up to the front, and they had a bench they'd sit on, depending on how many there were. So you took care of them, and the rest of the people, you can imagine, the seats were full, and you had to watch them because they had to keep busy too. So it was quite a lot of fun. I had two men teachers, come to think about, in grade school. And I remember one of them, one of the kids, while we were reciting, was cutting up a little bit, so he took a piece of chalk and threw it at him, and that settled him down for a while, so it was quite an experience.
What did the schoolroom look like that you taught in?
It was just one of the regular red brick school houses. The seats were divided on two sides. You had an old rundown piano up in front. You had one coal stove, the old Franklin type stove, and I did my own janitor work. I'd have to go early and start the fire in the morning, and so I'd bank it at night so I'd be sure to have a fire when I got there in the morning. And I'd sweep out the place about every evening, but nobody knew whether I did or not. And just practically a square building, not quite square, it was a little longer than wide. And that's about it.
Was there any equipment other than the piano in the room?
a big desk, teacher's desk up on the front on a site on a, platform-like place, and that's about it. Not too much equipment. Chalk, and, a fairly large blackboard in front, but that was it.
Okay, how could you teach for a year? Did you have to get a certificate?
No, I took an examination to get that teaching certificate. Just a regular exam. Now, in those days, they had what they called a Patterson exam. So some people, when they graduated from 8th grade, they could take the Patterson exam, and if they passed it, they could get a certificate to teach in grade school. So you had some people who were doing that. But I had to take a special exam to get the certificate. I just decided, for no reason, I didn't need the money, but I decided I wanted that experience, and so I decided I would try it for a year. And I just, it was all on my own. Nobody told me to.
And then from there you went back?
I went back to college and finished out there. And then I went to Ohio State, got a master's degree. I spent a couple of summers in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan.
Were you working for a doctorate?
Well, I took law, for instance. I was interested in that. And so we went to Ann Arbor and spent a couple of summers. And I went to University of Law School. In the University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I could have gone on, but other things interfered and I didn't.
Okay, then once you came out of college, you started teaching in Canton then?
The first year I taught in East Canton, but I taught high school. And coached football, had a pretty good football team. Then I decided a friend of mine was in life insurance, and he wanted me to go in with him. And so I tried that for practically a year, and. Then, in January, February, I had a friend in Chicago, and he wanted me to come out to Chicago for a while, so I went out there and fooled around until the spring, I suppose, and, when I came back, and got a job out in Salem, and started in September over here. And I helped, I was assistant football coach and track coach under Wilbur Springer then for the first year in 1927. And that was the year we took the track team down to Columbus and was second, almost won the state track meet. So.
Okay. What was a day like, or what do you remember about your first year of teaching in Canton, in a high school?
Oh, it was a two-year high school then. And people went from there to Canton McKinley. But that was very interesting too, because we didn't have too many rooms. It was rather small at that time. And I taught general science, history, English, Latin, I think, yeah. And we had the usual routine, one class after another, study period. That's about all I can remember now. But there's a lot of, it was very interesting because at that time, nobody had to actually finish eighth grade if they didn't want to, but if they finished eighth grade, they didn't have to go on to high school. There was no compulsory education then. So the people you had in school were very interested in doing what they had to do, so you had no trouble with anybody.
Were they basically in high school because they were going on?
Just because I think they wanted to go to high school.
Did many of the students that you had there go on to become teachers after high school?
Actually, I lost track of most of them. I can't say. I don't know.
But was that a general pattern? For most of them went to high school, they went on into education then, at that time?
From high school? No. Not too many. No.
Not then?
No.
Okay. No. I need to turn over the tape. Okay, why did you decide to come to Salem then?
Well, that was one of those accidents. It just happened. Actually, I didn't, after I got back from Chicago, I spent the summer not doing much of anything. And somebody told me that there was an opening over here in Salem. And so I just came over and talked to Mr. Allen. And we had quite a visit. And I liked him very much. And so he told me he'd let me know. And he sent me a telegram a couple days later and told me to come over. I was hired. And so that started that, and that was the end of it. I just stayed here. I liked it, and
where was the high school when you started teaching high school here?
It was on North Lincoln Hill. North Lincoln, where it is, like junior high is now, but of course, they went through a couple building periods, added to that building during the years. And then, I forget what year we moved up to the new building, but that was quite a change.
Okay. What areas did you teach here in Salem? Did you teach a particular subject all the time in Salem?
No. I started out, it was general science was the opening when I came over, so I had all general science classes, and I don't know how many, five on one class. And U.S. history, And I don't remember, we had 6 1-hour classes, I think. And classes were pretty large, between 30 and 40 in a class. So you had a full day then. You didn't have any time for preparation. I don't think I even had a free period, as I remember. Went the whole day. And I was lucky I had, I think, the same room all day, so I didn't have to shift around too much. Some people had to go from one room to another, two or three different rooms in a day. But when you had between 30 and 40 people in a class, and that many classes in a day, you really had work to do. When you gave a test, you had all kinds of papers to grade, and it was quite different.
Okay, was there a difference in the discipline?
There was a big difference. And the discipline problem changed tremendously through the year.
How?
The type of people that you had, the students, even, there was a gradual changing in the laws of the state of Ohio through the years, because in the early 20s, you were going through the period of consolidation. Up to that time, you had only the one-room country school, and the children could go, some of them had to walk for 1 or even 2 miles, and they thought nothing of it. But then they got the idea that they would begin to consolidate, and a lot of people objected strenuously to that at the time that they were talking about it, and they fought it, but they carried it through, and then the state began to require that everybody had to go either through the 8th grade, or if they got too old, they could drop out before they actually went through the 8th grade and got were permitted to drop out. Then that meant that gradually they had to go to school until they were at least 16 or a certain age. So you began to get more people. Those people that didn't want to go to school had to go, and so they were fidgety, and they began to make some trouble here and there. But that took quite a while. Through the 30s and 40s, changes were taking place, and mostly the youngsters were pretty much interested in doing what they were supposed to do, so you didn't have too much trouble. I noticed the biggest difference in the early 60s. There was a change in the class of people that you have. some of them who didn't want to go to school, and their general attitude changed, but that's it.
Were parents much involved in school, or in the schools where you taught?
Parents? Not too much. I didn't have too much chance to associate with the parents, and they didn't seem to care too much to associate with me, but you more or less knew the parents because you knew the children, so there wasn't any particular reason for that. And no discipline problems to contend with, and no grade problems to contend with because the parents didn't seem to care. They took whatever they got, whatever the children got on the report cards. They didn't seem to care too much. So there's no trouble, no problem.
Mm-hmm. What major changes did you see in your years of teaching?
That's quite a problem. The changes were so casual and gradual that I don't particularly recall. Class sizes gradually decreased. As I said, there's a big difference between a class of 30 and 40 people and a class of 20. And so gradually, partly by law, I suppose, and partly through administration and teacher protests, they began to cut down the class size. And that was one change. At first, the children had to buy their own books, and they had to buy everything. Nothing was furnished. And then gradually the state began to change that requirement. And that was a major change, the fact that the books were supplied and a lot of the equipment was supplied. Also, the teaching materials, more of them were either required or supplied. So that's about all I can think of.
Were there major changes in the curriculum?
Not too much, because you stuck pretty much to the general requirements, the 3 R's, and gradually a few additions, like gym and music. I don't know what else. But there were some gradual changes, yeah. Band, cheerleaders, things of that kind.
Home ec, industrial arts.
Industrial arts, home ec, and auto mechanics gradually. Woodworking, yes, there were changes through the year.
Okay, since you taught the science,
yes.
True? Okay, did you feel there were a lot of, or there was a lot of push after Sputnik?
since I got, I didn't mention, I guess, I taught general science for a number of years, but gradually changed over into the field of history, and, I majored in English. I had only one class, I think, in English through the years up here. There was a lot of talk about emphasizing science and math in those years following Sputnik and so forth, but not too much emphasis apparently as such. There's a lot of talk, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything that you would like to see changed about education?
That I'd like to what?
See changed.
Oh. Well, there are quite a number of things that I've been meditating on through the years since I retired. Things that I'm not particularly satisfied with, of course. You have the problem today of improved buildings, giving the children everything, and they're not appreciating it as they should. The one thing that I think requires more change is busing. And trying to equalize education for the masses, particularly in the big city. We're spending more money on busing these people in an age when we don't have enough gasoline for the general run of people. And we're spending more money and wasting more gasoline and taking these people to schools that they don't want to go to in the first place, particularly in the big city. So that's a big gripe with me. There are probably a lot of other things that I could think of.
Well, I mean, as far as the way, say, teachers are prepared, curriculum, I mean, you have some ideas. You were a teacher.
Well, you have a new class of teachers, too, as I've gradually noticed. They, I don't know. They, it's just from an outside point of view. Seemed to me that teachers in the old days were much more dedicated, and I may be wrong because I've lost personal touch, but in those days, teachers were very much dedicated to what they were doing, and they did the best job they could. Now, I've gotten the impression that, as I say, from the outside, that there are some teachers who probably aren't too dedicated to the job, and, but that would apply to only some, not too many probably. The whole world's changing, so we're going through a period of change that may be good and may be bad, I don't know.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to comment on or share with us? I mean, maybe some experience you had.
Oh, well, I have a lot of experience, if I can think of it. Well, one experience that tickled me, of course, when you had a one-room school, you were in charge of everybody. And I had one episode. I never had any problems, but I had one episode of one of the little boys and the little girl. They had a little fight of some kind, and so I was sweeping the front of the stoop where you go in. They had a brick place, pavement like, right outside where you go into the building. And I told the little boy to do something. I think he took the girl's hat or something. And I told him to give it back to her, and he wouldn't do it. So I was sweeping. I had the broom, and I hauled off and gave him a good swat. And then he said he was going to go home. He didn't like that. So he calmed down. But that tickled me. It was a lot of fun. I went sled riding with the kids at noon. I don't know. We were just a bunch of happy people, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And there will probably be a lot of other things, but I can't think of.
Okay, I know something else I'm going to ask you. You lived 2 years in private homes when you went to Heidelberg.
Yeah.
And then you lived 2 years on campus.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you notice any social restrictions on campus?
Oh, no. We were all just as congenial as could be. We had, when I said I stayed in private homes, they were just on the edge of the campus. And nobody paid any attention. We had then only one dormitory. It was called Founders Hall. And it was the first building that was built, and then it was turned finally into a dormitory for men. They had special houses they had built for the girls, and were completely segregated, you know. But when I said I stayed in a private home, one was very close to the, just across the street from the campus, and another one, there were five boys. I had two very close friends, and there was an elderly woman had a house, and that's the way she made her living. She took in boys, and there were the three of us were very chummy, and we had one big room. Then she had two other boys that stayed in the same house, and we were all very good friends. But we were just a short distance from campus, and made no difference at all. Everybody was equal, you know. When we stayed in the dorm, that was a lot of fun. Of course, it was right on campus, and right, most of our classes were right next to the Founders Hall, so we didn't have far to go. And as I said, when I peeled potatoes for the, it was, everybody ate at the Commons, the boys. And so I'd go in the morning at about 6 o'clock and peel a couple bushels of potatoes, and that was good for the day, and that was my work for the day. And then sometimes I'd substitute for the boys at the waiting table and doing dishes. So we all just, we didn't have fraternities exactly, not national fraternities, but the boys had two, and the girls had two at that time, I think. But I was president of my fraternity for a couple years, which was an experience.
Where did the girls eat?
They ate in my dorm. They had Willard Hall was a new hall, a great big place that was built particularly for girls, and so they had their own meals there. Once in a while, we did have a, I don't know whether the girls or the boys would put on a party and have everybody eat together, but not very often. We were very much separated.
Okay, that was a social restriction then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very much.
Segregation. Really.
In classes, too?
No. Boys and girls. And they were equally divided, pretty much. The same number of boys and overall of girls.
Mm-hmm. Did the girls have to keep strict hours and dress codes? And
yes, very. That was a Reformed church school that was predominantly, but not restricted. We had people of all denominations. We had chapel twice a week, I think it was. We were required to attend. But I had a girlfriend that sat on the end and took the roll. So it didn't make any difference whether I was there or not. I got credit. I've never called to the dean's office. Never bawled out for anything. Oh, one Halloween, some of the boys, we never knew who, but somehow got a cow, brought it into the main building, the recitation building, and put it in one of the professor's recitation rooms. If you can imagine, they had to bring that cow upstairs, put it in that room, and so I don't know why, but Dr. Miller the next morning asked me if I would help take the cow out. So I did, but I don't think they ever find out who did it. They had in the main building, it was pretty old, but very useful. They had what they called the pony rail. That was three floors, and in the center of each floor, there was a railing so that she would look down and look up. And that's where everybody would congregate between classes and socialize and so forth.
Mm-hmm. When you taught in the one-room school, what amount of money did you make?
$80 a month plus $20 for janitor work.
Very good.
Then, for 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then when you started teaching, after you got your degree in East Canton, what did you start making there?
I think $120, but I'm not sure. That's about it. Not too much more.
Did you sign a yearly contract at that time?
Yes.
To teach?
Yes.
And they stated money by the month?
Yes.
Not for the year?
By the month.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add? Is there anything else you want to add?
I don't know of anything.
Okay, then I want to thank you.